title of the message this morning, and the title is a little bit surprising, I think, but if you'll go to the next slide, Julie. There we go. The title of this morning's message is Why Every Christian Must Be a Killer. Why Every Christian Must Be a Killer. And that may be a little bit of a surprising title. It probably isn't what you would have guessed this morning. But we're looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Why Every Christian Must Be a Killer. And if you would, please stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. Romans chapter 8. It's so difficult to pick out just a few verses, three verses from chapter 8. I had down to verse 17 because it's so rich and there's such context to it. But I think this sufficiently covers what we're going to be reading this morning. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Paul is writing and he says this, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We were just singing about who I am. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. We just sang that. And that's what Romans chapter 8 is talking about here. About being children of God. Sons of God, children of God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer together. Father, we thank You, God, for Your Word. The power of Your Word that, God, that we recognize that in our society today, and sadly in our church, in our families, that we don't ever want to seem negative, and many times we compromise because we want to be positive, we want to be upbeat, and many times we can fail to address real issues. Out of fear of seeming judgmental or seeming as if we're condemning or being prejudiced in some way. But Father, You've called us to have judgment, to have discernment. And I pray that we would exercise that. That we can see things as they really are, as Your Word reveals them. God, we recognize how Your Word is a light and it reveals everything. The good and the bad, the good and the evil. It reveals everything. And we don't ever want to do anything to distort that light to where it covers something up, a shadow is created for something. God, we want to deal with the truth. And we recognize until we deal with the truth, we can't do anything. We have to deal with things truthfully. To try to spin the truth, to try to be correct in some other way, whether it's politically correct, whether it's just trying to spare someone's feelings or something like that. God, we recognize, Lord, that we have to be truthful. We cannot grow, we cannot move forward unless we're truthful in what we say. And so we thank You, God, for Your Word, how truthful it is, how solid it is, and that, God, we can really build upon that foundation, and that it will expose and it will reveal everything in our life, the good and the bad. And I pray that we would take that with humility and that we would allow Your Word to expose these things and to transform these things in our life. And I pray that this morning's message would be a part of that process. We pray and ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. So Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. What we're reading here is that every disciple of Christ, every, as we've been using the term apprentice, every apprentice of Christ, every member of this church, everyone in attendance here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, has to be a killer. Has to be a killer. A stone cold, ruthless killer. Not of other people, but of sin in our lives. Sin in my life. Sin in your life. Do you know you have sin in your life? I know I have sin in my life. There are areas, I've grown a lot as a Christian, I've matured a lot as a Christian, but there are still areas in my life where sin still has a stronghold and I have to be attacking those areas of my life. And you're in the same situation. You have to be attacking those areas in your life. We have to be killers. Obviously not of other people, but of sin in our lives, sin in my life, sin in your life. Do you know what the word mortify means? What I'm saying sounds very dramatic. I've got it emboldened there. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify. You know what that means? It means to put to death. It means to kill. But if you through the Spirit do kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. What this is talking about, as Paul makes reference earlier in this chapter, it's talking about the carnal mind, which as he puts it there in Romans chapter 8, is an enemy against God. My carnal mind is an enemy against God. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible. It's not just talking about our physical bodies, it's talking about our flesh. And this has been misapplied before. People thought, well, my physical body is the problem. Once I die and this body goes back to the ground and I go to be with the Lord, then that's going to solve everything. Because the spiritual, that's good, that's pure, but this body is defiled. That's not, when it's talking about the body, it's not just talking about our physical body. Christ had a physical body and He was sinless. A physical body just like ours, yet He was sinless. What this is talking about, the flesh, the carnal mind, as it says here, the deeds of the body. It's talking about our rebellious, fallen nature. Our nature that is bent towards sin. This is what we must put to death. This is what we must kill. Does that sound extreme? Me and Janet were talking yesterday, and you're probably not going to hear something like this in a lot of churches. Because this seems very intense, very extreme, and we got to keep everything light so people will come back. As I was just praying earlier, there's a problem with that. We have to tell people the truth. And the truth is pretty intense. And the truth at times might even seem extreme to our sensibilities. If this sounds extreme, I would just ask this question. What's the alternative? What is the alternative to murdering, to killing sin in our life? What is the alternative? Do you know what the alternative is? It will kill you. It will kill you. That's why it says, if we do through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. If you don't, what happens? You die. For if you live after the flesh, you shall, what does it say? Die. It will kill you. Sin will kill you. John Owen, probably his most well-known line, he was a theologian in the 16th century in England, wrote extensively, I mean, he wrote very deep theological works, but he made this statement, probably his most quoted statement. He said this, "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." He wrote that in a book called The Mortification of Sin. He said, "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." You notice that it's present tense. Not kill sin, you should have killed sin or it will kill you. Or kill sin sometime in the future, but it says be killing sin or it will be killing you. It's a continual thing. You don't ever stop. In fact, that full quote, he says, whilst you live, be killing sin or it will be killing you. This is continual. This will never stop. And I'm going to give you an example of that in just a moment. Look at Matthew chapter 5. The scripture we quote pretty often. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. This is Christ speaking, and He says this. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now that's talking about the act of sex outside of marriage with a married person or sex with someone other than your spouse as a married person. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Matthew 5:27. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable. It would be profitable to cut your hand off. that would help you. It's profitable. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members, one part of your body, should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. That also sounds pretty extreme. Understand that we recognize Christ is exaggerating there to an extent. I'll put it this way. Christ is not teaching and encouraging self-mutilation. That wasn't his message. That's not what he's saying. But he's using this language, he's exaggerating in this language to make a point. It sounds extreme, but listen. Sin is like a cancer. Sin is like a cancer. It takes root and it spreads. You see, as we just said earlier, you have sin in your life, I have sin in my life. That sin does not sit still. It moves. It spreads. Just like cancer. It takes root, it spreads, and then it takes over. It gets its hooks in, and then it kills. It kills young people. It kills old people. Sin kills people. Sin kills marriages. Sin kills families. And sin kills nations. And everything I just said is applicable to you this morning and to me. What's the best defense against cancer? What's the best defense? We have no cure for cancer. What is the best defense against cancer? You say chemotherapy, radiation, but not quite. What's the best defense? Early detection. Because once it gets to a certain point, radiation will do you no good. Once it gets to a certain point, chemotherapy will do you no good. Early detection. You have to catch it early. That's the best defense against cancer. Early detection, catching it early. But let me flesh that a little bit more and then do something about it. If you just find out that you have it early and stop there, that hasn't done anything. You catch it early, then you do something about it. Then you go for radiation and you blast it and destroy those cells. Chemotherapy, you poison it. And then after you've shrunk it down, then you get out the scalpel and you cut it off. That's how you deal with cancer. That's how you survive cancer. Sin, you can remember this. If you want a definition for sin, here's a good two-word definition for sin. Sin is spiritual cancer. And all the attributes that go with that, spreading, growing, metastasizing, taking over, and killing. Sin is spiritual cancer. You have to catch it early. You catch it early, and then you get out the knife and you kill it. You amputate it. Sin is spiritual cancer, and you have to catch it early, and you have to kill it. Now, all that sounds very dramatic. I recognize that this morning. But I want to look at a very practical and recent example. A cautionary tale. Ravi Zacharias. Can you read that? One of the most well-known, highly respected Christian apologists in the world. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Ravi Zacharias. You see, I know you've heard of him. You know why? Because he died back in May. And from this pulpit, I memorialized in part of a sermon entitled Joy Unspeakable, Ravi Zacharias. He died at the age of 74 back in May of this year. But some things have happened since he passed away. It was happening before then, but more things have come to light. Ravi Zacharias' ministry investigates claims of sexual misconduct at spas. There are things in this article that I read this week that I'm too embarrassed to repeat from this pulpit. There were accusations about inappropriate text messages that were sent with a woman in Canada, a married woman in Canada. To be honest with you, when I heard about that, I think that those things were even coming out before Ravi Zacharias' death. And I want to say this, and you need to understand this. Listen closely. Accusations can be false. Even in 2020, when it seems like all accusations end up being true, they can still be false. You need to remember that. There can be false accusations. As I heard those initial accusations, I'll be honest with you, when it came, there were some things that were a little bit suspicious. There was money being asked for, a large sum of money being asked for, like over $1 million. There was also, it was very difficult to verify the claims or the accusations that were being made. The evidence had been destroyed. It was basically someone's word against someone else's. But then as more was investigated, they found things of financial impropriety with Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. That are still being investigated. And then later on, some more people came forward. No money was asked for. Multiple individuals who said this happened. We want no money. We don't want our names mentioned, but we want people to know the truth about what happened. Much more credible and verifiable accusations were made. And it appears the accusations are valid. Now I want to say this. Accusations can be false. These accusations could still be false. I wasn't there. But you better have discernment. You know, at some point you do have to make a decision whether something is true or whether it is false. And we get paralyzed in thinking, well, I can't be judgmental. Well, you know what? I hope you never sit on a jury. If I don't see it with my own eyes, I can't. How can I know? Maybe that's all a huge coincidence. I hope you never sit on a jury. Matter of fact, when you sit on a jury, tell people you don't have the mental capacity to sit on this jury. You don't have the maturity to sit on this jury. Because you know what? Sometimes you have to look at the evidence and come to a decision. And I'm telling you, the initial evidence that I was reading, and everyone has come to their own conclusions, the initial evidence I was reading said, that looks like that could be suspicious. I don't know if that can be verified. Then more evidence of other incidents came out, which was much more verifiable, and I think these are valid. And I'm incredibly disappointed. Amen. It's devastating. I tell you, the worst thing I can do is sit here and just say, well, let's just not mention it. From this pulpit, I commended Ravi Zacharias about, 5 months ago? Therefore, from this pulpit, I have to set the record straight. I have to. Do you know that's what's killing the church? That's what's killing the church. You've heard this statement, the cover-up is worse than the crime? That's what's killing the church. And it's not just a Catholic church. We have to deal honestly and transparently with these things. We have to set the record straight. You'll hear people say things like this, well, we didn't want to say anything for the sake of the ministry. I like what I heard Dallas Willard say in a recording here recently. He said this years ago, for the sake of the ministry. You know what he said? For the sake of the ministry, say something. Say something for the sake of the ministry. Say something. We have to be above reproach as a church and as Christians. Amen. And no one is excluded, not me. That's why I want to emphasize this. I'm a member of this church. I'm thankful for pastor appreciation and everything, but I want to say this. Don't ever forget, I'm a member. You're a member. There's an equality here. There's an accountability here. There's a transparency here. I'm not immune from accusations. If you hear an accusation about me, you have a responsibility as a church member to run it to ground and find out, is this true or is it false? Accusations can be false. They can also be true. And you can be surprised. I'm rarely surprised anymore. I'll be honest with you. I was unpleasantly surprised by this. You can investigate that for yourself. You can read into it. And if you have different thoughts on it, I'd love to hear that. But I'll say this. Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, RZIM, is now doing an internal investigation. And I'm anxious to see what they find out. And I'll say this. They better do it right. I'm sick of Christian ministries. We're going to do an internal investigation. You know what they're going to do? Damage control. Mm-hmm. To save the brand. We need to be on our faces before God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. What Ravi Zacharias did is deplorable. Now, what are you going to do, board member? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be complicit? Are you going to call it what it is and be a Christian? And even if your hero, your mentor, even if the shoe fits for him, you put it on and say, he sinned. It's wrong. We condemn it. Even if RZIM goes out of existence, we condemn it. Amen. We're not going to compromise. Mm-hmm. We can't compromise the situation. Even if Marble Hill goes away, we cannot compromise. The stakes are too high. We have to be honest. We have to be transparent. This has got my attention. I'm already thinking about doing some things in a different direction because this is getting my attention to say we have to have accountability. We have to be transparent, including me in everything. We're seeing things happening with damage control, NDAs. You know what an NDA is? Non-disclosure agreement? Never. In a Christian ministry. Never. Never. Never, never. When I hear the letters NDA, I think they have something to hide. Because because you're judgmental? No, because I'm not an idiot. Mm-hmm. Non-disclosure agreement. If you say something, we can sue you for every penny you're worth. If you disclose something, we settle out of court. Guilty. That is guilt. I'm afraid RZIM is heading the wrong direction. I'm afraid they won't exist in 5 years. And they had a powerful platform in almost every country in the world. This really gets my attention. Here is the moral of the story for us. I don't read that and say, oh, shame on that disgusting Ravi Zacharias. How could he do something like that? Here's the moral story for me. Sin is serious, and it's destructive, and it's a killer. And no one is immune. No one is immune. If Ravi Zacharias can fall into temptation and destroy his testimony, so can I. And so can you. This is happening on a national, international scale. This is happening every day in churches. And a lot of times, one person picks the rug up while somebody else sweeps it under it, and they drop it. That can't happen. That can't happen here. If there's something going on in this church, come and tell me immediately. You know what you want to do? Call the police. We will call the police. We will not handle anything internally. If a crime's committed, we'll call the police. If we learn anything, we have to know that we have to treat these things seriously. The church has to be above reproach. And everything we do, we have to deal honestly and deal with things the right way. I take away from this that if Ravi Zacharias can fall into temptation and sin, so can I and so can you. You must be killing sin or it will be killing us. Ravi Zacharias died in May. His wife's still alive, who's a board member. His daughter's still alive, who's a board member. His son-in-law's still alive, who's a board member, who are dealing with this. He killed himself. He blew himself up. He destroyed his testimony. And I can do the same thing. And you can do the same thing. This is the cautionary tale. We better take it to heart. Many lessons from this. Sin is serious. It is destructive. It is a killer. Your marriage can be destroyed. Your parenting can be destroyed. Your testimony can be destroyed. Also, the truth comes out. The truth comes out. You cannot live a double life. There are so many double lives being lived. I've learned that myself. Man, I came to church on Sunday and just conviction like you can't imagine. I was living a double life. I've told you the story before. There was Jordan at school, Jordan in high school, and there was Jordan at church. My language was completely different. I spoke different languages. Both were English. Vocabulary is totally different. You know, and I'll tell you this story very quickly because I want to try to get through this for the sake of time and I want you to really think about what we're saying this morning. I remember the day when church Jordan and school Jordan collided. Greenback basketball game. High school basketball game. I'm sitting there with my friends. School Jordan. Double life. School Jordan. Bill and June Ross walk in. They're looking for church Jordan. They see church Jordan sitting over in the stands. Think, hey, we'll go sit with him. Here they come. They sit down right in front of me. And here's all my friends. See, they had switches too. You know, they could flip their switch and be, you know, the school person and the church person. But the problem is they didn't know that was my pastor. sitting in front of me. They didn't know it was time to flip the switch, so they didn't flip it. And so now school Jordan is colliding with church Jordan. And the Holy Spirit is convicting me, saying, Jordan, are you done living a double life? Boy, wouldn't it be nice just to enjoy the game and not be sitting here sweating bullets? Like, what are they going to say next? Trying to whisper and pass the word. Don't say anything. That's my pastor. Just be consistent. Be one person. Living a double life's hard. It's hard. I would commend to you, live one life. Do you see that camera running? All my coworkers, anybody that wants to listen to YouTube can listen to this. If I'm living a double life, they'll know it. And they'll know I'm not. I do not live a perfect life. But I do my best to live a consistent life. I don't want to be a hypocrite. If I wasn't doing that, I'm a hypocrite. I want to call you to live a consistent life. It's better. It's life. It's so much better to live one life instead of living two. That's what this takes, by the way. It's a double life. It's duplicity. There are people who knew this Ravi Zacharias, but then there were other people who knew a different Ravi Zacharias. Christ lived one life. Paul lived one life. Peter lived one life. I want to live one life, not a double life. These things are so serious. The truth comes out. You cannot live a double life as an apprentice of Christ. Do you know why? Because the Master knows. If He's your master, if He's your mentor, He knows if you're living a double life, and He's the only one that really matters. He knows everything. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Luke chapter 12. It says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, He began to say to His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is like yeast. And again, this is that, just like with cancer, it spreads, it grows, it permeates everything. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. The truth is coming out about all of us. Not just Ravi Zacharias. Yes, he's a public figure, an international figure. That's why you're seeing this in newspapers. But ultimately, it's not just people like him. It's not just scandals in large ministries or among celebrity pastors or something like that. The truth's coming out on everybody. Listen, read on down to verses 36 and 37, that same chapter. Luke 12, 36 and 37. Man, this gets my attention. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Do you hear that? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word. That makes me think about everything I say. Not just in this microphone, not just in this recorder, not just in this pulpit. When I leave here today, and it's just me and Janet driving the car on the way home, what do I say then? Griping? Complaining? Did you see what that person did? What that person said? Every idle word. It's all recorded by Him. It's all recorded. Every word. I've got enough words that have come out of this mouth to give an account for. I don't need to add to the list. I repent. I say, God, forgive me for the things that I've said. Not just the words that I've used, but the way I've talked about other people. I don't want to be a gossip. I don't want to slander people. Even just to my wife, even in private, I don't want to be a slanderer. I don't want to be a gossip. You know why? Because we're going to give an account for every idle word. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I don't want to give an account for what I'm thinking. So put it out of your mind. Don't say it. The truth comes out. In fact, ultimately, absolutely nothing will be hid. Everything. Everybody say that with me. Everything. Everything will be brought to light. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. We love this scripture. This is talking about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. This is a scripture maybe many people here have memorized. What do you hear the next part of it in verse 13? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. It says, "For the Word of God is quick." Which that doesn't mean that it's just speedy. It means that it gives life. Like a quickening is something coming back to life. "For the Word of God is quick. It is alive. It is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow." Listen to what it says next. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight." Notice it. We were talking about the Word of God. Now we're talking about something else. "In His sight." Not in its sight, in His sight. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." I can't tell you how much that gets my attention. And I say that's a life-changing verse right there when you know that that's true. You know, Ravi Zacharias knew these scriptures. No question. He knew these scriptures. Ravi Zacharias didn't fail to know these scriptures. He failed to believe them, and he failed to do them. What did I preach on last Sunday morning? The great omission. Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. It's not about knowing what Jesus taught, it's about doing what Jesus taught. He said the exact same thing himself. Failing to do, to observe, to obey the things that Jesus commanded, the things that Jesus taught, that is what got Ravi Zacharias. It was the great omission. He knew it. He knew the commands. He failed to obey them. He failed to do them. When I failed, I failed to do. It wasn't because I didn't know. Later on in my life, I began to study the Word of God. It wasn't because I didn't know. It's because I failed to do it. We must be killers. We must be killing sin. So how do we kill sin? Well, I said it earlier, we catch it early. We catch it early. You kill it in the cradle. You strangle it in the cradle. I know that sounds very like we have babies in the room. It's like, Jordan, that's good, good. I want to shock you. You kill it in the cradle. You catch it early. You have to be a ruthless killer. I know exactly how that started because I've been down that road. What happened to Ravi Zacharias? I know exactly how it started. It started with a thought. Started with a feeling that he was thinking upon. It started with lusting after some woman, and then he started acting on it. You have to kill the thought. You have to kill the thought because it just, from that point, from the time that thought goes through your mind, it does nothing but it gets harder because now it's growing. And that sin that you're killing in the cradle, you better kill it in the cradle because it's going to become a monster that will overpower you and dominate you. You have to kill it in the cradle. You have to catch it early when it's just a thought. It's easy. I should say this. It's a lot easier to put a thought to death than to have to go confess things to your wife, to your children, to the board of directors. That's when it gets real, real difficult. Where probably Ravi Zacharias was relieved to die of cancer because it was easier than what he was supposed to do. And he didn't do it. He could have done it. But he didn't do it. That's how hard it gets. But putting a thought to death is pretty easy compared to that. You know, I've learned that after the Holy Spirit has taught me some Bible lessons, I say something I shouldn't say to somebody. I get angry and I lash out at somebody and I have a sharp tongue and I say something to them. And then I walk off, and then the Holy Spirit starts working on me, saying, whoa, where do you think you're going? And I calm down later on, and I pray and say, God, please forgive me for saying that. I shouldn't have said that. God says, that's good. I forgive you what you said, but you don't just need to say you're sorry to me. Turn back around. And you go back to that person, and you have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said that. And I ask you to forgive me for having said that. Please forgive me. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But then you walk off. Let me tell you what that does. It does a lot of things. One of them is this. It makes you a whole lot slower to say something the next time when you have to deal with it. Deal with it on the front end. Makes it a whole lot easier on the back end. How do we kill sin? We catch it early. We kill it in the cradle. We kill the thought before it grows. Look at the last scripture we'll look at, 1 John chapter 1. Verses 1 John, not Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, if we confess our sins, confess. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just, to forgive us our sins. But it doesn't stop there. We're very big on forgiveness as Baptists, which is good. I'm big on forgiveness and grace and mercy. But how about obedience? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't forget that part. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's going forward. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We have to be honest. We have to catch these things early. We have to confess them. I would phrase it this way. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Don't let things build up over time. We need to be daily confessing sin. When there's a thought that goes through my mind that I wouldn't want anybody else to know, that's the one I need to take to Him and say, God, you know what's going through my mind? Let's kill it right now. I know that's not glorifying to You. I know You hate that thought. Let's kill it right now because I know what happens. I've been down this road. It will grow otherwise. God, take it out of my mind. Get my mind back on You. Deal with it right then. Daily confessing sin. Daily studying the Word. Studying the Scriptures. These things have such practical application. Studying the Word to diagnose the cancer. What's the early signs of... I was looking at this week. A friend of mine had surgery for skin cancer. She said what type it was. Immediately I look it up. Was it carcinoma? Was it melanoma? I always get them mixed up. Which one's more serious? I type it in and I'm reading it. Then I start looking at symptoms. I start thinking, what's this on my... You know, it's like, well, what are the early symptoms? It's a weird shape or color or something like that. And now I'm looking at these symptoms. What's the early signs? Why? Because we know it's been beating our head. You have to catch it early. Early detection. Because if you don't, and it's a melanoma, that's got... Now I remember, melanoma, then it spreads. You have to catch it early. Maybe it's just a little bump on your skin. But if you don't catch it early, then it goes to your lungs. I have friends right now who are getting ready to have lung cancer. They're going to have a part of their lung removed. You know why? Started right here. Melanoma. And it spread. Early, again, spiritual cancer. Sin is spiritual cancer. Catch it early. And the Word, the Scriptures, this can help diagnose to say this is what you need to be looking for. These are the early signs of skin cancer. These are the early signs of breast cancer. These are the early signs. This is what can help us diagnose it. And it can teach us how to live a healthy life. Get rid of the cigarettes. Cigarettes cause lung cancer. Stop smoking. This will tell us that spiritually. How can we live a spiritually healthy life? What can cause cancer? Stay away from it. Not just what the early signs are once you get it, but stay away from it. Daily confessing our sin, daily studying God's Word, being faithful to God's house. You know, a lot of pruning takes place here. Probably some pruning taking place this morning. Cutting some things off that need to go. Amputating it maybe. Being faithful to God's house. You know what else we have here? Praise God, accountability. You know my life, and I know yours. And there's accountability. And if we really love each other, if I see something that's out of place in your life, or you're sitting down a place in my life, you need to come to me one-on-one and say, Jordan, I think you're going down a bad road. I'm worried about this. I'm seeing something happening in your life. Let's kill it now. Let's kill it right now. That accountability is so important. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask Bill to come. Get a song or other singers as well. Everybody stand if you will. We must be, and hopefully this title makes a lot more sense now, why every Christian must be a killer. We must be ruthless killers when it comes to sin in our lives, when it comes to spiritual cancer in our lives. We must be ruthless killers. And I say that sounds so harsh, but I say that this morning. I say that out of love and out of compassion. You know why I'm saying this out of love this morning? I'm tired of watching people die at the hands of sin. And I'm seeing it constantly. I'm tired of seeing lives destroyed. I'm tired of seeing marriages destroyed. I'm tired of seeing families destroyed, communities destroyed, our nation destroyed. We must be killers. We have to be killers. Christ was a killer. Paul was a killer. We have to be a killer. From the youngest to the oldest. We must be killers because judgment is coming and nothing will be hid. Confess it now. Kill it now. Deal with it now. It will never be easier to deal with than right now. It will just get harder. I'm telling you, before it comes to a head, let's deal with it right now. Let's keep short accounts. Let's get that account set back and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Forgive me. Let's kill this sin. The Spirit can do it. Christ can do it. It'll overwhelm us. It'll dominate our, it'll take our life over. Christ can do it. The Holy Spirit can do it. As we close this morning, if you need to come and pray, this altar's open.